1 Samuel 25 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to jump right in here where we left off. 1 Samuel 25. This chapter begins with a note of sadness. Look at verse 1. 1 Samuel 25, 1. You notice the first three words there? What's the first three words? The man that this book was named after dies. Samuel died. The great prophet and judge finally dies. You say, Pastor Dan, where's David? Well, David's still out in the wilderness running from Saul like a wild animal. Saul's trying to kill him. So David's out there trying to, you know, stay one step ahead of King Saul. Well, it's during this time that we're introduced to a wealthy man by the name of Nabal. To describe this man, Nabal, how would I describe him? In very simple to understand terms, I'm going to really put this very simple, okay? To describe Nabal would be he was a jerk, okay? He, in your handout, it says he was a complete fool, all right? And that's what the Bible says. Look at verse number 2, 1 Samuel 25, verse 2. It says, and there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. Now, it doesn't mean he was great like we would think of great morally. It means he was wealthy. He was very great monetarily. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. Look at verse 25 and notice how his wife describes him in verse 25. She says to David, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. He was a fool. And the best thing that the guy had going for him was his wise and beautiful wife, Abigail. Now, some folks would say that about me too, I guess, huh? Best thing you got going for you is your wife, buddy. And they're about right. But this guy, that's the best thing he had going for him was his wife. He was a fool. And the Bible says he was churlish. You know, I mean, just gruff and mean and rough and obnoxious and obstinate and, you know, just real churlish, you know. Y'all know anybody like that? Churlish, you know. And y'all know what images come to your mind when you say churlish. But you just get this, you get the picture of this guy who's just going around always in a bad mood, just gruff and rough and mean to people and just rude, you know. Well, he's got this real wise, beautiful wife named Abigail. You ever wonder how this bird got that wife? You know, you wonder. But he's got this wise and beautiful wife. David and his mighty men, they're out there in the wilderness. And Nabal's shepherds were out there too. Well, the story goes here that David and his men protected Nabal and his men from raiders who would come in and would destroy Nabal and his men and his sheep. They kind of served as bodyguards. They were really good to Nabal's men. And in fact, look what Nabal's own men said. Look down at verse number, go to chapter 25. Go down to verse 15. It says, but the men, now this is what Nabal's men said about David's men. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. They said, man, as long as David and his men were around, we were safe. They protected us. Well, David's out here in the wilderness, and he's hungry, and he's thirsty, and his men need food. And so David decides he's going to send some of his men to Nabal. And since he'd been so good to Nabal's men, he thought maybe Nabal would be good to them and give them a little food and something to drink out there in the wilderness. Well, they go to Nabal, and Nabal was totally disrespectful of David's men. Totally unthankful for what they had done for his men. And basically what this hard-headed guy says is he says, I'm not giving you a slice of bread, and I'm not giving you a drop of water. Now you scat, you get out of here, you go on back to David. I'm not giving you one iota of anything. Well, when David's men came back and told David this, putting it lightly, he was hot. He was furious. In fact, David kind of lets his temper get the best of him. And David tells his men, strap on your swords, boys. Let's go. Let's go. We're going to go destroy this guy. We're going to destroy him, and we're going to destroy his whole household and his men. David took it as a declaration of war. And so he straps on the sword. Look at verse 13. It says, and David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 abode by side. So David and 400 guys are going, and they're going to kill Nabal, and they're going to kill his men, and they are going to do business on him. Abigail hears about it. She hears about her husband's evil actions, his obstinate, obnoxious behavior. And so Abigail immediately took action. What she does, look down at verse 18. It says, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves. Ladies, how would y'all like to go home and make 200 loaves of bread today, huh? And 2 bottles of wine, and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of fig. She gets all this food, and what she basically does, she goes out and she intercepts David and his men as they're heading on the path to destroy. They're on the war path. And she intercepts them. And she goes, and Pastor Rob, she offers this sacrificial gift to David and his men. She personally delivers it. She single-handedly kept David's wrath from falling on her husband and all of his men. She alleviated the destruction from coming down upon David, upon her husband, and her entire household. What a wise woman. In fact, you know, she was a Proverbs 31 woman. Married to an April 1st man. Y'all get that, right? She was a Proverbs 31 woman married to an April 1st man. And you know, they say that you can see Christ on every page of the Bible. And there's a lot of truth in that. This godly woman's actions are such an incredible picture of the sacrifice that Christ made for you and I on the cross. I want to bring out some very valuable insights to you today. Number one is this in your handout. I want you to notice, number one, that Abigail's sacrificial gift was absolutely necessary. Now, let me get you to talk to me a little bit here, and I want you to think with me. We're in church. We need to understand the passage. Was Abigail the one that sinned against David? Yes or no? No. Was Abigail the one that lied to David and railed on him? Yes or no? No. But yet she makes haste to prepare the gift to take to David and his men. So let me ask you a question. If she didn't sin against David, why was the gift so necessary? Why was it necessary? Who sinned against David? Nabal. Nabal had sinned greatly. The only way to save the lives of Nabal and all the men were to offer this sacrificial gift to David. It was life or death. Abigail couldn't just stand idly by and watch everybody wiped out. She had to do something. So she offers up this sacrificial gift to save them from wrath. Almost 2,000 years ago, there was another sacrificial gift offered. Jesus Christ gave His very life and body to die on a cross for you and I. In John 10:11, I'll bring it up on the screen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd. And what's the next 3 words? Giveth his life. Say it real loud. Giveth his life. He gives his life for the sheep. Just like Abigail, Jesus' gift was necessary because of the sin of others. You see, Abigail had to offer her gift because of one man's sin, Nabal. Look at verse 14, chapter 25, verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. So she had to go and she had to offer this gift because of one man's sin, Nabal's. Now, before we're too hard on Nabal, I kind of suspect that there's a little bit of Nabal in all of us. Let me describe Nabal. Selfish, stubborn, obstinate, hard-headed, and he had a temper. That wouldn't happen to describe anybody in here, would it? Any of those things? Yeah, I think it hits a little close to home, doesn't it? Yesterday I was in the van. We were in South Florida. The Muhammads, Richard Muhammad, lost his sister, 54 years old. We were down there in the Miami area for the funeral. And I was telling the boys about Nabal, Richard, as we were heading, we were heading to the funeral. And I was telling them about Nabal. I had my two little boys with me. And I said to my boys, I said, Nabal was selfish, stubborn, obstinate, hard-headed, and had a temper. I said, now does that sound like anybody? Well, you talk about opening up a can of worms, right? And I'm not kidding you. I'm not going to say which one, but one of my boys right away stood up, or one of them spoke up and said, that sounds like me. I thought he was going to say me, But you know what I found out on the way to the funeral there yesterday, Richard? I found out that I got a little Nabal in me. I'm heading to the funeral, and Richard knows. We were driving all around. We're trying to find this place. And I'm not kidding you. If you've ever driven in South Florida, it's an interesting experience. There's lights, stoplights, like every few feet. And we're getting stopped by every one of them. And I am so mad. I'm like, finally, I grabbed the steering wheel and I said, I hate stoplights. And then all of a sudden I realized, I looked over at Denise and I went, stoplights bring out the Nabal in me. And she laughed, and the boys laughed. But boy, they do. Stoplights bring out the Nabal in me, I tell you. And do y'all think we all got a little Nabal in us? There's a verse there in your handout that I think kind of lets you know we all got a little Nabal in us. Look at it. Romans 3:23. It says, for some have sinned. Is that what it says? Oh, wait a minute. I got that wrong. For what? All have sinned, and we've all come up what? Short of the glory of God. We all got some Nabal in us. In your handout, I want you to look in your handout there. It says there that Jesus offered his sacrificial gift on the cross, not because of his what? His own sins. No, he never sinned, but because of our sins. If you look at the verse in your handout, Galatians 1:4, look at what it says. Look what the Bible says. Bible says that the who is Christ? Christ gave himself for what, church? He gave himself for our sins. Just like Abigail, she gave the gift, Pastor Rich, so that she could keep the wrath from coming on Nabal and his bunch. Jesus Christ offered the gift of his life on that cross to help others avoid a sure death sentence, just like Abigail's gift. Nabal would have surely died had it not been for Abigail's gift. His sin led him to the door of death. Look at verse 17. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Nobody could talk to Nabal. Nobody could tell him anything. He was so hard-headed. He said, nobody can tell Nabal anything. And he said, Abigail, I want you to know that the wrath is coming. The wrath is coming from David. He's on his way, and he's going. Old Nabal had a bullseye on his back, and David was coming gunning for it. He was a dead man. But did you know that our sin leads us to the same place as it did Nabal? If you look with me in your handout, Romans 5:12, if you'll turn your handout over, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon" who, church? All men. Boy, y'all are doing great. Y'all are right with me today. "Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Can I ask you a question? Is that just talking about physical death and putting you in a grave and putting some dirt on you? Is that what it's talking about? No, when it says death passed upon all men, it's the death that came on Adam. When Adam, when he ate the fruit of the tree, and the Bible says, God said, "In the day you eat it, you're going to die thereof." Did he physically die that day? No, he lived for about 1,000 years. So Adam didn't physically die, he spiritually died. He was separated from the presence of God. You see, the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for our sin is death. Not just put you in the grave and throw some dirt on you. That's when your soul and spirit, the Bible says the second death is when your soul and spirit is separated in a place called hell forever from God Almighty. That's the second death. But praise God for the gift. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In your handout it says that Christ offered Himself as a sacrifice for our sins out of deep love, just like Abigail offered her sacrifice for these men out of love. Christ did the same thing. Look in your handout, Ephesians 5:2. "And walk in love, even as Christ also hath" what? "Loved us." Well, how did He love us? It says, "And hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God." Isn't that a great verse? "For a sweet-smelling savor." Oh, how necessary was Abigail's gift. Without her gift, without Abigail's sacrificial gift, they're all dead men. But praise the Lord, how much more necessary was Christ's gift on that cross for you and I. Or where we're all die in our sins and spend eternity in hell. Praise the Lord for the gift. Praise God. Isn't that great news, church? Christ gave Himself for us. He gave Himself for us. In your handout, it says there, not only was her gift necessary, her sacrificial gift was offered personally. I want you to notice that Abigail gets on her donkey. She gets all this food she's prepared. She finds David, intercepts him and his men on the road to come and destroy Nabal. She gets down off of her animal. The Bible says she makes haste and she goes over and bows herself down to the ground before. Now get the picture. David has got fire in his eyes. David is ready to literally rip Nabal's head off, her husband. He's going to destroy this household because of their sin. And she catches David in the way. She stops him. "Stop, stop." She gets down. She runs over. She bows herself down to the ground. Now look at verse 24. Look what happens. "And fell at his feet and said," now this is amazing, "upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid." If you look down at verse 28, she said, "I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid." Wow! She's not the one that sinned, but yet she bore Nabal's iniquity. She bore his sin. Do you know what you've got right there? You got more than just substitution. That's identification. What she's doing is she is completely identifying in Nabal's sin. And she's identifying herself in Nabal's place. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. More than He was your substitute, and He was that, but He fully identified with our sin on that cross. 2 Corinthians says that He became sin for us on the cross, who knew no sin. He fully identified Himself in our sin. He identified with you on that cross as a sinner, just like Abigail does here. There's a verse in your handout. It's a good verse. It says there that Christ, His own self, bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Did you see that? We read over that real lightly. You ever feel guilty for something sinful you did? Am I the only one that ever sins around here? You ever feel guilty for sin? Would you agree with me that that's a weight? It's like, it feels like a weight, doesn't it? You ever feel guilty to where it's just a weight on your heart and soul because you know you sinned and you did wrong? Now, wait a minute. You know the burden of that weight. That's just your sin you're bearing. I want you to imagine for a moment Jesus Christ as a man in time and history on a cross bearing every one of our evil words, evil actions, evil thoughts, evil deeds, bearing every one of them in His own body on that cross. Fully identifying with our sin. Abigail's gift was offered for everybody, not just David. Look down at verse 27. She brought enough food for everybody. It says, "And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord." She brought enough food for everybody. You know what that is a picture of in your handout? Christ's sacrificial gift was offered for every man. Man, I love that verse in your handout. Look at it right below that. It says that Christ gave Himself a ransom for who? For all. Did Christ die for you? How do you know? Just read it, didn't we? Look at the screen up here. What does the screen say? Okay, let's bring it up. Hebrews 2:9. "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Did Christ die for you? Did He take your sins on that cross? Yeah. How do I know that God loves me? You don't have to look any further than the cross. "But you don't know me. You don't know all I've done." No, but I know Christ took every evil deed you ever did and He paid for it on that cross. Paid for it all. I know He identified with that sin and He became sin on the cross and He offered up a sacrifice for you and He died for you. Because my Bible says He died for every man. He was a ransom for all. Who offered this gift? Can somebody tell me, going back to the story, this gift, she prepared all this food, then who offered it to David? Come on, it's not a trick question. Who offered the gift? Abigail did. Now, did you notice she offered it personally? She didn't send a handmaid, and you know she had tons of them. They were rich. She didn't send a servant, and you know she had tons of them. They were wealthy. She did not send a servant. She did not send a handmaid. She didn't send her sister. She didn't send an uncle. She didn't send an aunt. She went personally and she delivered this sacrificial gift. What a picture! Jesus Christ's sacrificial gift on the cross could only be offered by Him, nobody else. Why? Because only a sinless man can die for sinful men. Only a sinless man can die for sinful man. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't send an angel to come die? Aren't you glad He didn't send some other creature of heaven? You know why I'm glad? That wouldn't do. He came Himself, personally, to this earth to die for our sins. Hey, would you agree with me? What a Savior. What a Savior. Came to this earth, personally, to die for us. And now peace is possible. You know, look at verse 35. It says there, well, look at verse 33. It says, "And blessed," David responds now to the gift. And here's what David said, verse 33. "And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand." He said, "I want you to know, Abigail, what you did it kept me from coming and shedding blood and pouring out wrath. In verse 35, it says, so David received of her hand that which she had brought him and said unto her, go up in what? Boy, y'all are right with me today. That extra hour did y'all good today, I tell you. Y'all are right there with me. He said, go up in what? Peace. Go up in peace to thine house. He says, I've hearkened to thy voice. I've accepted thy person. That's what Christ's sacrifice has done for us. It's brought peace. I want to bring a verse on the screen. You see what that verse says right there? I'm bringing up Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified, that means I've been made completely right with God. I am justified by what? Faith. We have what? Peace with God. Can you say those three words? Peace with God. Say it again. Peace with God. One more time. Peace with God. Our sin, we deserve wrath. But because of Christ's intercessory work on the cross, just like Abigail's intercessory work, because of that intercessory work on the cross, it's averted the wrath of God. But not only that, now I can have the peace with God. Look what the verse says. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can stand before you today and I can say, I am at peace with a holy God. You say, why can you say that? Because you're a preacher? Nope. Well, why can you say you're at peace with God? You just think you're at peace with God because you're a member up there at Crossroads and you think you're better than me. Nope. Me going to this church has nothing to do with my peace with God. Nothing. You say, well, why are you at peace with God? Because you think you're a good person and you try to do good works and you try not to hurt anybody? None of those things. I'm at peace with God not because of my works. I'm at peace with God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. What He did on that cross for me. Look at the verse up on the screen, Colossians chapter 1. It says, and having, this is what Jesus did, and having made peace. How did He do it? Through the blood of His cross. Are you at peace with God today? If you are, there's only one reason why you are, and that's because of what Jesus has done for you. In your handout, her sacrificial gift was necessary. It was offered personally. Number three, her sacrificial gift had to be received. You know, she came and offered the gift, but David had to accept it, didn't he? Right? If David rejected her gift, and if David said, that's not sufficient, would Nabal have still received wrath and judgment? Yes or no? Yes. But David did receive the gift. And as a result, peace came to her whole household. We read it. Now, look up here. All of us have sinned against God. Would you all agree with me? We've all sinned against God. Would you agree with me that all of us in here, me included, we've offended the righteousness and holiness of God? We've all come up short. Would you agree with me? So we're all in the same boat. Christ's sacrifice was for us. He interceded for us. He acted on our behalf. Just like she made haste, she said, man, I better get busy. And she got this gift ready, and woo, off she went to intercede. Christ interceded for us on the cross. Now, here's the deal. Was Christ's sacrifice sufficient for you and I? Was it enough? Are you sure it was enough? How do we know that what He did is enough to take care of all my sins and your sins and His sins and her sins? How do we know that what He did was enough? How do we know that it was sufficient? I'll tell you how you know. Because Satan, he'll get in your mind. He'll bring doubts. Well, look at you. You're still this and you're still that. And you still sin and you mess up and this and that. And Christ's sacrifice on the cross, He's going to take care of all that. Listen, when you're ever tempted to doubt whether what he did is enough to just bust you from your sins and give you life, if you're ever tempted to doubt it, you know where you need to travel back to? You need to go back to the empty tomb. Because in your handout, here it is. How do we know that Christ's sacrifice was sufficient? Because God raised up Christ from the what? From the dead. That was proof. That was receipt in hand, if you will, that we know our sins were fully paid for by Christ. You know what the empty tomb is? It's like a receipt that says, yep, what he did on the cross was enough, paid in full. That's what the empty tomb is. It's a receipt in hand that your sins were fully paid for. Look with me up on the screen. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true. He's entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For then must he have offered, what it's saying in the text is, if he had to do that every year, go to the cross and die, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, here's the reality. Now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to. And I want you to look at the next three words. What are they? To put away sin. How did he do it? By the sacrifice of himself. The sin issue was dealt with on the cross. Let me say that again. The sin issue was dealt with on the cross. The sin issue was dealt with on the cross. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Let me tell you something. He did not leave anything undone. When he said it is finished, it is a complete finished work. You cannot add to it. There's not something else for you to do. He's already done it all. It's what we sung this morning. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. It's not that, well, he died for me and I believed that, but now I've lived a holy life. And it's not, no. It's not Christ plus me. Because if that's the case, I'm in trouble. How about you? It's not Christ plus me. It's Christ alone. He paid for our sins in full. Just like Abigail's gift was sufficient and David received it, Christ's sacrifice on the cross was received to the Father. And the Father said, it's enough. He raised him from the dead. Receipt in hand. It's enough. Paid in full. But now, the decision's up to us. Are we going to accept Christ's payment and believe on him completely to save us? Or are we going to harden our hearts and refuse his gift? Do you know what ever became of this old boy Nabal? This old stubborn Nabal? Abigail, look what happens in verse 36. It says, and Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. The only time the guy was happy was when he was drunk. Wherefore, she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. Well, there's no sense in talking to him now. He's drunk as a skunk, so she just let him be. Next morning, verse 37, but it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and boy, it always does, doesn't it? You know, you try to drink away your problems. Boy, the problems are still there the next morning, aren't they? The wine was gone out of him, and his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. She told Nabal how close he was to death's door. And she told Nabal what she did, basically without his knowledge. She went, interceded, and saved him and all of his men and all of their household. And when she told him, his heart got like a stone. He just froze up. He just stared. And I thought, man, what a picture. Instead of being humbled by Christ's sacrifice, you tell some folks about Jesus dying for their sins, and they get prideful, they get arrogant, their heart grows harder and harder. Instead of just receiving what he did. and saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. I want you to be my Savior. No, they get prideful. They get arrogant, and their heart gets like a stone. Did you know Nabal died because of his hardened heart? Look at verse 38. It says, and it came to pass about 10 days after. God gave this guy 10 days to repent. But it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. And there are people who will die in their sins. They'll spend eternity apart from God because of their hardened heart. In your handout, it says the sacrificial gift of Jesus had been offered on the cross, but it doesn't do us any good until we humble our hearts and what? Receive it. Till we humble our hearts and receive it. And it's our choice to either receive or reject the gift. May we not be like Nabal. May we gratefully accept what Christ did for us. Look at the bottom of your handout. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, what's the promise? Thou shalt be what? Hey, can I tell y'all something neat? After the 9:30 service this morning, we had a lady come forward. And back in the hallway back here after the service, someone took her back to talk to her. She was just in tears, weeping. And after the service, it's actually my mother-in-law, I think, dealt with her. My mother-in-law brought her to me. She says, tell the pastor what you did today. And just with tears streaming down her face, she said, I got saved today. I got saved. I asked Jesus to save me. What a tender heart she had. Don't be like Nabal. You know what I was thinking about? Kind of a funny little side note. I thought, you know, to this day, people will name their kid David, and people will name their little girl Abigail. Who names their kid Nabal? I mean, this guy's just got a testimony. He's just being just a fool. And the name Nabal actually means fool. And nobody looks at their little boy, you know, that innocent little baby, and says, let's name him Nabal. And I thought, you know, this guy left a testimony of just being a fool. Obstinate, hard-headed, mean, stubborn, rude, self-willed, selfish. And then when he realized that a gift had been offered on his behalf, instead of humbling himself and saying, oh, I've been so foolish, I've been so stupid, I've been so wrong. Abigail, thank you. Thank you, Abigail, for what you did for me. Thank you for the gift you offered. Thank you for keeping me alive and giving me life again. Thank you. Instead of doing that, he got as a stone. And he got harder. And then died 10 days later. And I thought, man, man, God, give us a tender heart to be thankful for what Jesus has done for us. Let's go to God in prayer right now. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. I want you to draw a big circle around your heart. And I want you right now to think about your heart and whether or not it's right with God. Are you at peace with God? Listen, if you're not at peace with God, you need to do that today. Don't be like Nabal. Don't be hard-hearted. Oh, be humble. Be thankful. Be grateful for what Jesus has done for you. Jesus offered a sacrificial gift for you so you could be saved, so you could have life. Come to Jesus. Receive Him. Don't reject Him. Don't let your heart get hard. Let it be soft. Be thankful for the great sacrifice Christ has made for you. And right now, in the privacy of your heart, if you would like to be saved, right now, bow your head, close your eyes, and right now, why don't you pray? And why don't you just say, dear God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for your sacrifice for me. And I believe in you, Jesus, and I believe that what you did is enough. And I'm trusting you, Jesus, to save me right now. Come into my heart and life and save me, Jesus, right now. I want to be your child. I want to be in your family. I want to have a soft heart. I don't want to be hard like Nabal.